You're listening to the good.
Don't call me Paino.
The bad.
Absolute.
And the rugby.
Folded like a deck chair.
With Paino, Lord, and the Husk. I don't know what that means.
Can you hear us at the back?
Yeah.
Can you hear us at the front?
Yeah.
Can you all hear us?
Yeah.
Better. We've warmed up a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, hello everybody, and a very, very warm welcome to you all to a special recording of The Good, The Bad, and The Rugby! We are, as always, in partnership with our good friends at City Index, who are the leading provider of spread betting, CFD, and FX trading. And this week, we have swapped the observant of you will have noticed our usual studio for a bit more glitz and glamour because we are at the Prince in Fulham. If they were quick, they'd have renamed it the Lord in Fulham, but we'll do that for next week, perhaps. We are in front of a live studio audience. Give your beautiful selves a big old cheer. Good evening to you, one and all. There we go. Always a noisy one in the cheap seats. It can't get any further forward. Those of you in the know will know that this is the second of a three-week run for us. We had the Good, the Scaz and the Rugby last week. We are here this week and we are back here next week as well in partnership and with thanks to Red Bull, who have transformed the Prince into the best seat in the house to watch the Autumn Internationals this year. I hope you will agree we're pretty well set. Let's have a cheer for Red Bull and what they've done here at the Prince this evening. Well done to you guys. So, without further ado, this show is always much better with a few guests. Let's get into that without too much fuss. First of all, I would like to welcome up. We've been searching for a little bit of class to our proceedings over the last year and a half or so. We have got just that in one of the great French hookers of recent years, a man who knows more about everything than any of us put together. Would you please give an enormous welcome, please, to the erudite, Mr. Benjamin Kayser! Bonsoir et bienvenue. Mon ami, ça va bien. Jump on in, have a seat. As we said, we should really be calling this the Lord's place this evening. Ladies and gents, would you give an enormous welcome to one half of the tripod? It is Mr. Mike Tindall! Come on in, the tins. We've got a couple of cherry and whites up here. Hello, my bruv. I've just suddenly realised this is going to get quite cozy. I'm so glad I got the armchair. Last but not least, a son of
lovely trow he's got on there.
Well, it's good. A bit you can caress that.
Tracksuit with a drawstring. I like it.
Right.
Works for you.
Pause.
Very French.
Pause. Double pause. Ladies and gents, please go bananas for one of our favourite guests that we have on The Good, The Bad and The Rugby, one of the current rock stars of the game. Mr. Jack Knoll is in the building, ladies and gents. Come on in, Knowlesy. And you can sit on Tins or Benjamin's knee. I'm not quite sure how the heck we're going to do this. Lovely. Super stuff. Now, I've got some drinks. Who's on? You're on a Guinness. You want one of those?
Yes, please.
Tins, what are you having?
Whatever you give me.
What?
Yeah. Acceptance.
Thank you.
Someone knows him well. Do you want that?
I want that.
You want that?
Thank you.
Oh, you can have that one. Lucky
no.
Dip.
Lucky no, thank you.
Lucky dip. Just so we're all feeling comfortable and relaxed. Gents, good evening. How good is this?
It's always good to be out and about, isn't it? It was great to see fans back at the weekend in the big stadiums, and it's always good to be at the Prince, a.k.a. the Lord's House. Quite like that.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah,
no
like
buying
it.
That? Yeah. Oh, fuck you all, then. No, sorry, we're live. Sorry.
Yeah,
screw you.
This is the problem. When we record and there's no one watching, we can do all this, and someone very kindly tidies us all up, but unfortunately we are now in front of a live audience. Good of you to come up. Have you just come up for us today? What have you been doing in London town?
Yeah, I've been roped to come up. I don't normally leave.
Come on.
I don't normally leave Devon or Cornwall.
Is that right?
So yeah, you're quite lucky.
You're feeling a bit giddy?
I'm scared of London, man.
Are you?
Yeah.
Do you get a car in and a car out, or do you actually take a bit of time to look around?
Car in, car out.
Right.
I actually did have a little 5-minute walk around the block just to people watch a little bit.
I wouldn't say that's conquering the city.
It's scary. It's scary. It's scary, man. Right. I brought my passport and everything.
Right, good. And you've just jetted in from Sunny Tunbridge Wells.
From Sunny Tunbridge Wells, absolutely.
Pasca?
because this is where I live, because I'm a weak, weak man who fell in love with a beautiful English woman. And when she told me it was time to pack it up from France and get a bit of sense in me, then I obviously buckled down and I ended up in Tumble Draws.
Very nice. We're all true.
We love honesty, don't we?
We're all true French people live. It is very nice to have all of the beautiful people in tonight. It's lovely to have you guys here as well. There are lots and lots of things for us to talk about. Before we do just that, I just would quickly want to talk about the weekend. I actually want to ask you, first of all, did you watch anything at the weekend?
No.
Right, brilliant.
Not one game.
You have a little snooze. We'll come back to you in a moment or two. Paris. Tell me not just about the game in Paris, because you were there working for Amazon Prime, but tell me about what happened after you went to bed. In fact, that's a really shit question.
Yeah, you don't want to know.
Tell me about how your night panned out is the question I wanted to ask.
No, I'll try to put it in a beautiful way. But I was obviously working, very happy to be back in Paris, catching up with a couple of old mates. I thought I did a sensible thing that I went home, you know, and I was in bed. And then I get the text. And for all of you who've played in collective team sport, the Brotherhood it lives on forever. And I get this text, you know, that's a bit of a test, right? That says, Rodrigo's here, come now. And Rodrigo is Rodrigo Roncero, who is my former Lucid Argentinian Puma legend, who was there for the game. And he's an absolute flipping legend. He's on the scales of being bonkers, but he was really, really good to me when I was young, to be fair. He took me out of some seriously complicated situations on the field, off the field, and I owe him a bunch. And the guy sending the text was Sylvain Marconnet, he's like 90 caps for France, tight head. Not the cleverest, but definitely the life of the party.
Did he not break his leg skiing as a player?
Oh, he did, poor thing. Yeah, he missed on the World Cup for that. Yeah.
He missed the World Cup skiing, as you did.
And so basically I got this text as a question of my, you know, my fidelity and how much I actually cared about those guys. And so I got up, and then I only came back at around 7:30 in the morning with a flight at 9, absolutely hanging. Taxi was basically spent sleeping, and for all you guys who know, you know, the art of a power nap will save your life. So power nap on the taxi, power night on the plane, and then rock up home, and my wife is like, oh, you know, my parents are coming over to you. Beautiful. So chopping pints with Rodrigo Roncero and Sylvain Marconnet, probably 500 kgs between the three of us for the night, and with another of ex-Stade Français guys who came over, which was lovely, going over to, you know, dipping mint tea. But I said, no, not too much. For my father-in-law, it was a bit of a shift, but that's the life that I live, and I loved it.
Please, a round of applause for our Anglified.
Paris is very much like Tokyo. It can get you.
Yeah, it can.
It can get you.
And it won't let you go.
No.
You were at Twickenham. Good day.
It was a good day. Obviously with the green room, but then watched the game. Bit of a damp squib for 65 minutes, and then Marcus Smith sprinkled some dust on it, and it all worked out well in the end.
Yeah, got the job done. What did you do this weekend?
Lost
another game of rugby. refused to watch any rugby.
Do you go on? I mean, is that a thing, as in, I'm not interested, I don't want to, or is it, I can't because I want to be there? What is it with you and...
It depends what kind of mood I'm in. I'm in a mood at the moment where I just hate rugby and I don't really want to watch it or do anything. No, I'm joking.
Lovely to have you on our show, very welcome.
I don't know,
he knows we don't really talk about rugby.
We obviously played, we lost, I was obviously a bit gutted. But yeah, a bit of that. Like, I'm obviously very happy for the boys and all, but at the same time, I do want to be there with them. So I just refuse to watch and spend time with the family instead.
Do you want a bit of Insta? I mean, how do you must find out. Does Sladey pile in off the back of the game?
I mean, I don't talk to Sladey.
Don't talk to Sladey. Full stop. Right, okay.
Where are we with you at the moment in terms of your relationship with Eddie and getting back in there? And
so I made a pretty grown-up decision, I think, for me. I've obviously been injured now for a good couple of years, it feels like. So I had the chat with Eddie in the summer. I've been playing, for 10 years now? This summer was the first time I had 5 weeks off in a row, completely off. I've never had that. We've either gone on a summer tour, we've had a World Cup, I've had an operation. You know what it's like, you have an operation, you have literally 7 days off, you have an op, you have 10 days off, then you have stitches out, and then you're straight into rehab. So I've never had any time off completely, and obviously now I've got a family. I rushed back for the final that we lost, you know, Marcus Smith then sprinkled his stardust on us and we lost that. Another final, which wasn't against Saris, but we won't talk about that. But then I got to the stage and I was like, look, I actually need a bit of time off. I feel my body needs a rest and I want to go back home and just spend it with the family. So I spoke to Eddie. Eddie was like, look, I think this is probably the best thing for you. time off away from rugby, get your head away from it, spend time with the family, and see what you come back with the new season.
We've discussed this on our show in the past about you sort of wanting to go and spend time with the family and reintegrate, and then actually just going to go into the gym and I'll see you in a month and a half type thing. How long into your summer holiday were you like, I'm kind of ready to come back if you'll have me type thing? Or what did you do?
No, I did it properly.
Good.
I did it properly.
What did you actually do over the summer?
I went back home to Cornwall, which was, we were lucky. We had the weather. It was phenomenal down there. Really enjoyed it. Didn't fucking work. Came back to pre-season and tore my hammy. So right. I probably won't be doing that again. but I'm kind of in a place now where I feel pretty good. I lost quite a bit of weight. Which I felt I had to do, and I've actually put four games together in a row now.
So round of applause, please, for Mr. Durable.
I feel he might have been talking to Marla a bit too much, and you see Marla flying in on choppers, retiring internationally twice, and then getting back in and just taking the money when he needs it. Otherwise, what? Away to him? No, I don't want to go on that tour. Give me a call in the autumn.
I couldn't get away with that.
Not many can, I think.
No. Have you spoken to Eddie recently, though? Have you said...
yeah, I have.
Right.
I spoke to Eddie before the autumn. I said I still haven't put these games of rugby together that I want to put together. He's like, yeah, completely agree. We'll leave you at the club and get fit and get sharp again. And then literally 7 days later, Anthony Watson got injured, unfortunately. And he said, we're looking at you. You're probably going to come into camp. And I was like... What about a conversation literally 6 days ago? Like, what about that one? But no, they have obviously called up for a couple of other guys now, and I think he's got my best interests at heart as well. So he knows that I want to get my head down a little bit and just play rugby.
Both of us said when we arrived here tonight, you look really well at the moment, like twinkling eyes, and like you look really, really well. Have you changed things in your day to day? Why are you suddenly getting four games together? And
I don't really know. I've stopped drinking.
Right.
Can't come on this podcast.
Like I'm recovering. Talking like I'm a recovering alcoholic here. Like I drink every day. I mean, obviously when we go on our socials at the club, like we go on big, big socials. I think the last one I did, I think we finished up about 5 or 6 in the morning. And then me and Slady thought it'd be a good idea to then travel up to London and watch Manchester United against West Ham. Which was which was a good game, but then again more beers, and I thought, you know, I'm still young, I can get away with it. Trained the next day, a couple of days, tore my hammy, and I was like, this no good for me, I've got to stop this. So I've cut that out. I love saunas. Like, I think I'm addicted to saunas. if you can you be addicted to saunas? Does anyone know
what,
like, can you be addicted to a sauna?
We'll come back to you on that, Jack. It's not something I've ever been asked before.
Have you
had one of those builds? You're building a gym and you're building...
I've got a sauna at home.
You've got a sauna at home?
Absolutely.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
It's like the guy from Frozen. Yoo-hoo! You want to
Sven?
Sven, yeah.
What I love is that every analogy you come up with is either Pixar or Disney or something. When was, what happened to the Goodfellas, etc.? Did you ever go through a period of like...
Loving saunas,
yeah. Well, I was going to say of like
in the
real
stuff. I'll say the years. You know, I'm sure there should be a couple of things that happened in saunas, but I'm not.
That's a very different show.
Yeah, I was told to go in a sauna. No, really. But
did you do the naked calendar?
Oh, enough now. We were getting along so well.
Did you do the naked calendar?
I did. Yes. I was young and foolish.
And what? Which month?
I think I was for the diversity shots.
Right.
You know, they needed a chubster in there.
Which month were you?
I can't remember.
Oh, come
on. No, I honestly can't remember.
Really?
No.
Because Hask tells quite a funny story about finding himself on a car park in the middle of Paris with 14 people and not a stitch of clothing. Was yours as intimate as that, or no, was it a little more stylish?
So the first time... So for you guys to know, Max Guazzini was the president of Stade Français at the time, right? He's the guy that did the cheerleaders, that did the naked calendar, that got the pink jerseys. He was a marketing genius. Right, because nobody was speaking about rugby, let alone rugby in Paris, in Japan, and all those places. But they were, thanks to him. And you can laugh and all you want, but there was lineups of guys texting him to say, "Can I do the calendar and all that?" Because it was good for chicks, let's face it. And for two, it was something different. It was something fun that they wanted to do. And so he was really, really out there. But the first time I met Hask, he's having his calendar shot being taken. And Max Guazzini, the president, has flipped a chair over, is having a fag, looking at him going, not enough sand, not enough sand. Somebody chuck him some sand. So all I would see was James Haskell, 130 kgs full of muscle, flexing as he, like there was no tomorrow, getting some sand chucked at him, you know, to add that to some sort of animal stony bit to the shot. And obviously I looked at Hask, I went to do 250 push-ups as much as I could, but it wasn't even going to do the trick. But they were the good old days, they were good fun days.
I feel Max could work wonders with this show, because we don't talk about fucking rugby either. Yeah, so yeah. You know, he could put something together for us.
And Pink. The question I was actually going to ask you before we got on to Stafford St. Callet, did you ever go through a period of your career where you just thought disciplined in terms of the off-field?
No, not so much. But no, where I do agree with him absolutely completely. I'm not a doctor, but if you go 48 hours on the piss and then you finish on a sauna before and after, it's not good for the hammies. That's as far as I know.
Together. I've done that once, but I didn't do this time together. Okay.
But where I do completely agree, and we were chatting before, I think you guys need to understand that it's an 11-month season. Then you get 3 weeks off. Do you imagine what 3 weeks off looks like? You get 5 days where you go on the piss, pretty much, just to celebrate and all this, sweat and blood that you put on the jersey with your mates for the whole time. It takes a lot of... And then you get 2 weeks of holiday. By the 2 weeks of holiday, you always get a text that will make sure that when you come back after 3 weeks, you need to be relatively fit. So you need to train. So you never, never, ever really switch off. And you were saying that you got those 5 or 6 weeks off during this break. And I think that's the best thing that can happen. We had a terrible season with Clermont. After winning a title, got absolutely bollocked for a year, 19 injuries all of a sudden, because nobody's perfect. We're all just human. And the mind plays a big, big role in how the body reacts. And then Franck Azéma gave us 9 weeks of holiday. And that was the best thing that happened to us, because after 6 weeks, we were keen to train. Week seven, we were all pretty much training, but on our own motivation. You know, that's how we go back. So resting is the whole thing. We always talk about danger in rugby and concussion and all those things. The only flipping thing that can happen is more rest. Just let the boys completely shut off in the summer. You know, piss off somewhere else for four weeks, do something completely different, take another trade if you want for a couple of weeks, and then come back and do it. Because that freshness, I reckon, is key.
Stupid question to ask you, if you ever turned off the booze for a bit.
No. I feel I gained all my strength from booze.
I'm moving swiftly on. We said at the start, we genuinely, not only do we love having you on the show, mainly because you give a lot as a current player, and there are a lot out there who have very thick media handbooks, and I'm not sure you've ever found yours, but also because our audience... Have you?
Yeah.
You're not that good at it.
Oh, I think I'm right.
You tend to say what you think more than what you're told to say.
Yeah, well, that's what you meant to do, though.
No. Oh. Well, yes, it is, but that's not what many do.
Yeah, well, that's boring then, isn't it?
Do you get into your fellow players about how little a lot of them offer the media?
Yeah, I just don't talk to them.
Right. So we've already cut off Slady. Who are you talking to? That's why he doesn't talk to Slady, isn't it?
Wait, what was the question?
I don't really know. The question was, that, so in the current day and age, modern players have to be very, very careful with what they say.
Yeah.
You are very good at playing the game. You give enough without giving too much.
I think a lot of boys worry what they're going to say, because we can get in trouble. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like my recent stuff I've put on Twitter, it's nothing bad, but obviously everyone knows I'm not a fan of the 4G pitches.
Yeah. It's not the most controversial thing, I think.
No, it's not at all, is it? But I know, but believe it or not, there are boys that have had warnings because they've gone, like, I don't know, there are a few pumping money into them and stuff, whatever. Well, you look into it, but I'm just more along the lines of say what you think. I don't mean to offend anyone, but if you do, you do. And I try to be polite and I try to be respectful. But it's genuinely what I think, so I'm going to say it.
Yeah. Are you going to come in on that?
No, I was just resting on...
You're sneezing. Sorry, sir.
There are a lot of boys that are worried about...
So Henry, for example...
Henry's just boring.
Right.
But he... Straight up. Right. He tries to be funny. Right. He thinks he's being funny. He is just... He's really, really boring.
Okay.
He may be good looking, but shit, he's boring.
He was like... Even on the pod, he was like, look, I am boring, but I don't have shit breath. That's the only thing he was worried about, wasn't it?
Did he talk about that on there as well?
No, you keep getting into it every time you come on, and he came on to respond to it.
Oh, yeah, of course he did. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
thanks.
Oh, yeah, he put it to bed. He tried to put it to bed, didn't he?
Yeah, are you going to reignite it?
He does have bad breath.
Right. The oldest are the easiest. But where I was going this is that you are a very easy current player to buy into, which is why you're here tonight. You got the Red Bull on. I wanted to ask you a little bit about actually how the partnership with you and Red Bull actually works. Because there are lots of people out there doing lots of things, and you think, oof. But it is a genuine kind of friendship, synergy, authentic connection between you and them.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's something I've always... It's kind of... when I was a kid, I never really wanted to play rugby. I wanted to play rugby. I love playing rugby. I love being my mates. Love just playing the game. But I didn't want to be a rugby player. I know it sounds weird, but I didn't grow up... not a lot of people from Cornwall play rugby for a job. So I was a bit like, I don't know what to do. Red Bull, extreme sports, anything to do with water, I've always been a massive fan of that. Soapbox racing, you know, fucking anything. I love it. So obviously then I fell into the, very lucky to be a professional rugby player, but kind of got into that path of doing it, and you know, I've loved every minute of it. But then obviously this chance came along with Red Bull. I found out
you went to them, or they came to you?
I think they
whose
came
people spoke to whose
yeah
people?
I think Red Bull came to my guys spoke to those guys and got something together. But I couldn't believe it, like, this Red Bull was one of the biggest brands in the world, and I was thinking, bloody hell, like, they want to work
why
with
do you
me.
Why do you think they did want to work with you?
I think maybe a bit like what you said, like, I'm a fan of rugby, but I'm not a fan of rugby. Red Bull is very individual, but they were very keen to get involved in into like a team sport sort of stuff. And I just felt that, well, I spoke to them, they said that I kind of suit the brand and what they wanted to be with, and just my side of stuff off the field as well, which they said they're really, really interested in. And I get so many opportunities with them. I could do all sorts. Like, obviously, we've got a big wave surfer back down in Cornwall and in Devon as well.
Have you gone out on that?
Not yet.
Are you going down to Portugal?
Not yet. I'm not going to say too much at the moment.
Oh, hello. Oh, give us a bit more than
I
that.
I can, because Baxter might be watching.
Oh, right, okay. He won't. There is no way Rob Baxter will be watching this.
I don't know.
Categorically,
cameras
say.
Up there. He might Twitter, right. Instagram. I don't know.
Okay. So hypothetically speaking, if the stars line, would you be keen for that?
100%. Yeah.
How would you
fare? I want to do everything. I want to do cliff diving. I want to do all sorts. I want to try to do as much as I can whilst I'm with them. So.
Right.
Anything away from rugby.
I was going to say, sod doing cliff diving. I've stood at the top of the one in Wales, 30 metres up. Fuck that. Right. And I like doing crazy shit, but I don't think you'd... I'd jump off it, but wouldn't do anything else. I mean, it's
what
so
feet first?
High.
Well, anyone could do that with a couple of arm bands.
You're not allowed to dive off them, are you?
Are you not?
No, you'd die.
Yeah, you've got to have proper people with you. You've got to have divers.
If you dive off a 30-metre board, you would snap your arms and probably break your neck. That's why they all land feet first.
Right. Okay. I'm never going to do any of this shit. I don't know why you're even looking at me.
No, we were talking about earlier about doing the wingsuits, jumping out of a plane with a wingsuit.
Yeah.
I'd be all over.
You do that as well?
I'll do that.
Right. Are you kind of itching to get to the end of your rugby career so you can start the fun stuff? I sincerely hope Eddie Jones isn't watching.
All of this recovery, all this recovery and trying to get myself fit is 100% for rugby, I promise you.
Right. I can well and truly believe it. Are you up for any of this, or should we just have a cup of coffee on the sidelines?
No. I'll be looking. Yeah. I'll be looking and commentating from the side.
Very French voyeur, isn't
it? Yeah, exactly.
I will just be watching.
Yeah, I'll be looking at the guy with the speedos, basically jumping off the cliffs. That's exactly what I'll be doing.
But seriously, the surfing thing is on. Because Andrew Cotton's down there, big Red Bull guy. We were talking about Danny McGaskill on the BMX as well. Yeah. I mean, the content is just phenomenal. But would you be quite keen for a bit of a... Would you just go straight in, or do you need a bit of a session before you start getting towed into
waves? I would like to... Yeah, just go straight in. There's no point thinking about it. I couldn't say that I'd surf these waves, because these waves are ridiculously big. Yeah. They're massive. But I speak with Cotty quite a bit. I've done like a little bit of training with him, a few breathing stuff and all. So I speak to him quite often. But all these guys are so cool. And they do something so different. They do stuff that other people, you can't even dream about doing. So, you know, to be able to be involved with them and to be able to chat with them is so cool.
What else have you got from this that's been beneficial? And I'm thinking about the sort of high performance element that a lot of time and effort goes into backstage.
Obviously, a fair few injuries I've had. Yeah. But obviously, it's very, they're so used to doing individual stuff. So a lot of these athletes, bikers, skateboarders, surfers, you know, they're not lucky enough to have team physios, team S&Cs and stuff like this. Whereas Red Bull, they kind of look after all of that for them. So if any of them pick up injuries or any of them get, you know, knocked, or they need conditioning or anything, Red Bull sort this for them. And I was lucky enough, I think it was a year or so ago now, to go out to Austria to the APC centre out there.
What is an APC?
It's basically for the athletes. So they can go out there. There's gyms, physios, doctors,
I'm
everything.
It's Athletes Performance Centre.
Yeah, sorry. Nice, mate.
Jesus.
I actually went out there with my physio to check it out, and I just had an ankle operation. So I got to see all that side of it and what they do. And it was also a change of environment for me because I've been in that rehab for a long, long time now. So I was lucky enough to go out there and work with those guys and just freshen it up a little bit.
Are you getting better at rehab or considerably worse?
I'm world class at rehab.
Right.
I've had so much experience. If it was like international caps, I'd be the most capped player in the world at the moment, I reckon. Right. For injuries.
So what are your top three tips for getting through another hamstring injury or a lot of Netflix?
No. Hyperbaric chamber, stay away from the family, no drink. No, I'm joking. That's a joke.
I tell you what, I hope Eddie Jones, I hope Rob Baxter, I hope your wife aren't watching this at the moment. I'm not sure there are many left in the team, but...
I don't know, it's tough, like, it's mentally tough, you get in a few
Do you work on that side of the game, do you work on that side of things?
I wouldn't say I do stuff to try and work on it. I mean, I don't do any training for it.
Do you have someone you talk to?
We've got psychologists that we've come through for age group. But I'm trying to stay as positive as I can for anything. Like, I'm quite a positive person, and I'll try and find a positive for anything. So, you know, if I do get another injury, it happens. But, you know, I've kind of got these people around me now. Like I said, Red Bull, our physios back home, that I've got these people around me that are able to kind of snap you out of that mentality of being dark and depressed. And there's another injury where family is massive for me. I think they've, you know, I do joke with you guys a fair bit about them, but like, as soon as you get home from it, they kind of snap you out of it. Two little girls now, it's chaos. So I don't have a lot of time to think about when I'm injured. I'm surrounded by people like this that are able to lift me and get me back to where I want to be.
People don't understand how draining it is to be injured, especially if you have numerous injuries back to back, and you train harder than you ever train when you're a pro, and most of the training that you do is really unenjoyable. It's really boring. It's on your own. It's just you and the physio, and it gripes on you. And that, especially if you then go back to back with numerous injuries, that's where the mental side comes in. So it isn't an easy thing to do. I always remember I had one right at the start of my career where I was out for 6 months and I wasn't sure whether I was going to get back. And
you thought that might be.
Well, I had loads of these little microfractures in the head of my femur. I was 21 at the time. It was after the 2000 Six Nations in autumn, so I'd just broken in, and then suddenly I couldn't play through 2001. Didn't go on the Lions tour, and wasn't sure for about a 6 month period whether it crept in my mind that I might not get back because they couldn't give me an answer. And that really eats at you, and you go to some dark places. Actually, it was 14 all days. Back to back actually was my darkest point at that point, which was felt really good at the end of that, by the way. If anything can get you back to you needing to training, do 14 all days back to back, that'll do it. And it takes a switch, but that taught me a lot about injuries in terms of how to then approach them. And you've got to see it as a time to be able to get away, focus on something different. Yes, you do all your training, but don't always get focused on what the club are doing as well. You've got to look after yourself first and foremost.
What was the worst you did?
I retired for medical reasons because my neck was gone, but I, touch wood, didn't have anything.
Where's it gone?
It was not sounds, good enough.
Sounds like an insurance scam.
I wish. No. But I was lucky enough never to run that fast, really. So there was no chance I was ever going to pull a hammy. That's for sure. So the only thing that ever got broken was my neck, and then that just, you know, took a toll. Then it was a matter of between the head and the neck, you can't really play with it and be silly and not sensible about it. So I just called it quits and went. But whilst I was playing, touch wood, that was okay.
Which is good to hear. So you didn't watch any of it this weekend? Not at all. Great.
Nothing.
Would you like to know, or should we just...
I mean, you guys can talk about
we
it.
We can talk about it, bro.
If everyone wants
if
to talk
get,
about it.
You get a drink and a pizza and a magazine for Jack, that'd be lovely.
I'll just set my phone here for a bit. I'm happy, man.
Something's don't change. I do want to get into what was a belting first weekend of the Autumn Nations Series. Let's do England first of all, because you and I were both there, actually. Marks out of 10, what caught the eye? What did you like?
Look, I think they forced too much in that first sort of 60 minutes. They did some really good stuff, but they're always that final pass was forced when they didn't need to. I understand how that creeps in against Tonga, but you know, they would have scored a bucket, though, more in that first 40. And then as Tonga tied and you bring on the likes of Marcus Smith, he carved them open and showed his class, and hopefully we'll get to see him from the start on the weekend.
What did you... I mean, the flames are beginning to bubble around Marcus Smith, of hype, etc. Was Saturday just a sort of Tonga exhausted and therefore he could do what he wanted? Or is it we are beginning to see a kid who is ready to take on
I don't know. I think there's a balance. Everything I hear about him, I don't know if Jack knows him personally, but everything that Danny Kerr sort of told me about him, about the character he is around coaches, he doesn't get dictated to by coaches, which is quite rare. He'll actually tell them if they say something and he doesn't want to play that way, he'll sort of stand up. I think Danny said one of the first times he was around, he told Marla what to do, and everyone was like, uh-oh. And Marla was like, oh, okay, fine. And then he sort of commanded that. And if he can do that and he can play the way he can play at the line where he takes it so close, makes decisions in that sort of split second, he is where we want to be. He is what Finn Russell is. We want to see people who can make those decisions close to the line, because defences are so dominant now in terms of the line speed they put up and pressure they put on. And you need these guys to be able to unlock those and unpick them.
Have you trained with them a bit?
Yes, I have. Yeah, a couple of times. Yeah, I have a couple of times. Yeah, I fucking know
he
is.
I love it. He was like, who's Marcus Smith?
Yeah, I have. And I've obviously played against him quite a bit as well.
Yeah. And thoughts? I mean, when you're up against him, can you see that there's a crackle and an excitement?
Yeah,
or
he's a little shit, isn't he?
Right.
Hate it. He's very hard, like Tin said, he's very hard. He does play it to the line, which not a lot of tens do. And he's got everything. He's got his footwork, he's got his kicking. No, he's worked on his game massively from when he was, well, saying he's a kid, he's still a kid now, isn't he? But he's kind of got everything that he needs to go far. But like I said, he's an absolute nightmare to play against. Passes, kicking, and his running is probably his biggest threat as well. But yeah, he's turned into a player that's going to be pretty dangerous. So,
Would you like to play outside him? That's always an interesting question as to whether you...
As long as they pass the ball, I don't mind. Yeah.
Life is very simple in your lane, isn't it? Yeah, give me the ball and get out of it.
I mean, he does all of this whilst touching his hair 1,000 times in a game. Yeah. So, yeah.
He must have stuff in like to keep it. Do you know what I mean? So his hands must get greasy.
It's like a baseball pitcher. He's like that and he's rubbing it on the ball just to make That sounds dodgy too.
Not a problem you've had for a while, obviously.
I buff mine in a bowling ball thing. Yeah. It's perfect.
Obviously, there's been noise around Marcus today. I'm not going to ask you this.
Thank you.
Because we'd like to see you play in an English shirt another time. Eddie Jones has had a bit to say around the hype that's coming for Marcus, keep your feet on the ground, etc. And he's sort of gone into the Emma Raducanu territory. Is this just 2021 and we're all looking for things to beat anybody with? Or is he... sort of...
Yeah, I feel he doesn't quite deserve it on the Emma Raducanu comment, because she actually came out and said her main focus is still tennis after lots of other people had questioned, because she, quite rightly, by the way, is allowed... She's an individual sport. She can go and do what the fuck she wants. She can go and enjoy the Met ball, go and do whatever. She's in control of her season. She can do whatever she wants. Now, I think Eddie was just using that because it was quite current in the media to say he's got to keep his feet on the ground, but... in a team environment, you won't be allowed to get above your station that much. I mean, he's got a long way to go until he gets a helicopter to a semi-final like Marla. So, he's working from what he sees in front of him. So he's got a long way to go. Yeah. But I think he seems quite grounded. I think it's more of a shot across the bow from Eddie to him.
Yeah.
To just be wary that he's watching. Rather than it is having a go at Emma Raducanu, yeah.
It's always fascinating how Eddie treats his players differently. So Marla gets the arm round, come and go as you see fit. Retire, brill, come back, great. Hask was obviously well looked after. Dylan Hartley was very sort of vocal about the fact he was put through the mill. Your relationship with Eddie is...
Leaves me alone.
Right.
Lets me do what I want to do and then lets me know whether I'm playing or not, or whether I'm picked. It's a pretty good relationship.
Are you an Eddie Jones pet? Would you be described as?
What do you mean, pet?
Are you one of his favourites?
Well, I don't know. He's never told me.
Right. Would others perceive you as one of his favourites?
I wouldn't say so.
Right, okay.
I'm not one of the ones where he...
Who is his pet at the moment?
I don't know. I'm not there.
Oh, fucking hell.
This is why you tune into the insights of rugby with a good...
You know the environment. You know the players. There are about two new faces in there. When you are in England...
There's a lot of new faces in there.
Well, all right. Okay. Who, when you were there, was Eddie Jones' favourite? You're turning into Marla.
Yeah. Just say Ben Youngs.
No. Not me. Yeah. You've pretty much said them. Marla, obviously Faz is the captain. It's weird because I thought
the only two players isn't it?
I thought he's obviously a big fan of Fordy as well.
Yeah.
But then obviously Fordy's not in the squad at the moment. I don't know. I think when Eddie's mind's made up, or he goes with it, and he has something in his mind that he thinks is going to work, and he's not afraid to fuck a few people off and go with it.
Quality content. That's what you've all come for.
I don't spend too much time studying the squad.
We've gathered very quickly.
We've gathered that.
This Saturday, change, sick, twist, all in, all out, what are you going to do?
I would change a little bit. I would change back row. I still think we need a ball carrying eight. I don't think we need to play Currie at eight.
So you'd bring in Dom Brandt?
I would bring in Dom Brandt or Sam Simmons. I'd have them both in my squad. Whichever one sits on the bench is your choice, because I think they're both excellent. I would have Currie at seven and I'd leave Courtney at six. I think Undernaws was, I know he went off quite early, but he was, sorry.
Sam Underhill, England legend, yeah.
England, Lions guy. I would probably do that. Ben Young's actually had a good game. Normally I would try and drop Ben Young's, but I'll give him another go. He's only got 115 caps or whatever he's got. But otherwise, I thought Radwan went well. Now, whether he'll keep him in that game, but he's electric.
So, little straw poll. Are you all quite big fans of Adam Radwan? Yeah. Okay, cool. Interesting.
Start a shot.
Yeah. Are you all big fans of Jack Noel?
Yeah. Thank you.
Easy.
I was going to get a bit awkward then.
Pick up the pecker.
We're all same position.
So, but I don't think there's much else. Freddie Stewart was outstanding. I'm really looking forward to seeing where he goes. It gives me great confidence that I feel safe every time a ball's put up and he's underneath it. So, that'd be the back row and
is that really the content you're bringing?
So those would be the only places I'd change.
Did you watch, or were you very busy having a little carafe of Van Rouge and some Camembert before the game?
England game, didn't watch, no.
Right, great. This is a seriously hard job, trying to talk Autumn Nations series. Two people haven't seen it.
I spoke to you and you said there's going to be no rugby chat on this.
I've asked you just about characters and individuals.
We did the Zoom calls and everything, you're like, yeah, no rugby. I was like, perfect, I'll come and do this.
I don't want to know what happened. I'm just talking about rugby. About people.
I didn't watch, but I can give you the only time that I saw somebody like shut the mouth of Eddie Jones next to me. It was really funny. I played for the English Babas. I told you that was the best week of my life. I absolutely adored it. After a terrible season with Clermont, we all got picked and we pumped England. 60 points we put on them. So you go on the piss from Monday to Thursday and we still end up putting 60 at Twickenham. It was an outstanding week. And the guy was
under 18s though.
There was a decent side. It's the one where Chris Ashton scored three and then he got picked again and all that. And the hookers were me, myself, and Tatafu Polotanao, who used to play at Leicester Tigers, the Australian guy. And obviously, I played at Leicester for a couple of seasons. And so at the end, the Leicester Tigers media guy, whatever, asked us for a quote. And we were next to each other just laughing. And Eddie rocks up. And obviously, Eddie has coached Tatafu quite a lot. And he looks at him and says, Tatafu, mate, looks like you put on a few pounds. You're really taking the mickey. We put 60 on England, right? Semi Radradra and Josh Tuisova absolutely tore power. He's like, Eddie, mate, looks like you've been crying. Is it about your defence? Absolutely belted him in front of all the journalists. And he just looked at him and just legged it. So I didn't say anything. I was just clapping next to him, but I thought it was hilarious.
Very good. Did he take that well?
You're asking me.
Does he take that kind of a flipping egg?
Change your question.
Jack, we'd love to come on our show. You just involve a little bit of conversation.
I'm not his agent. I'm not his wife. I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know what he does.
When the players get into Eddie Jones.
Do you give it to him? Are you happy to give it to him?
I couldn't imagine he would take that very well.
Yeah.
I would imagine he'd walked off from that quite angry.
Right.
I don't know. I wasn't there, so.
Right, bro. Quick, sit through the others. Did you watch any Wales, South Africa?
Watched a little bit. I got the bit as I was getting out the stadium and watched a bit as I was getting in, but then I drove home. So
brilliant.
Caught up with bits and pieces.
This is why people come to the good, the bad, and the rugby. Seriously detailed breakdown of the weekend's rugby. I watched 20 seconds passing that screen, 4 minutes on the bus home.
I watched the first half, then I drove home, and then I sort of caught up in the last 15 as I got home. So yes, I did see it, but not
the entirety. Yeah. I saw them lose it at the end.
Right.
Which
that's pretty much all you really needed to see.
Which made me very happy.
Yeah, exactly. Well done. We've got a couple of rogue staffers in this evening, actually. I'm not quite sure how they slipped through security, but you are very welcome, obviously.
Well, obviously, the bomb squad, if you're within a score, which actually South Africa always are, because I'm going to upset some Africans now, because they play the most boring rugby that's ever been played on the planet. Not that many staffers here, are they? Yeah, and I was quite boring, and I just trucked it up. But at least I didn't have to just chase kicks all day. I actually was looking at my Pimpy's thing, and he touched the ball twice in the game. And if your wingers touch the ball twice with the players that you've got...
One of those was a disallowed try.
Oh boy. Which shouldn't have been disallowed, in all fairness to South Africa, it shouldn't have been. But
you win some, you lose some.
Yeah, I think, but Francois Stein, it says a lot when Francois Stein gets a man of the match for just kicking a goal at the end. That sort of sums up.
Right.
What it was, really.
We really are spreading the rugby cheer here today, ladies and gents. Let's talk about France.
I was about to come on to that.
Yeah, France, Argentina. You were there, looking very debonair on the touchline.
Oh, thank you.
Compliments where they sit comfortably. Is this France side now on its way back to becoming the real deal?
Dry your eyes, mate. Dry your eyes.
Or is it still flattering to deceive?
No, so listen, I really take it one step at a time. A couple of injuries are in the seat. But honestly, the game wasn't a great game. It really wasn't. It was a dogfight. They got absolutely bullied for 80 minutes by Argentina, who were extremely, extremely physical. I thought there was the back row was Facundo Issa, was a big old unit. Kremer is lethal. And Matera even looked the smallest out of the three with Lavanini at number five. Argentina were really up for the fight. They absolutely trashed them physically. But France were just that little bit more, efficient, close to the line, good at taking points, and did some decent stuff. So it wasn't an extraordinary performance, but they got out of the doghouse with 50,000 fans in Paris. It was good to see everybody having their back. What I'm trying to say is it doesn't mean anything for the World Cup. It doesn't mean anything for the future. It just means they beat Argentina by 9 points. Great. Let's move on because the All Blacks are coming in 2 weeks, and that's obviously the big one.
How much of France heading into 2023 depends on what they do against the All Blacks? You talk about big games, big meetings, statements, 18 months out from a Rugby World Cup.
Well, it is a statement. To be honest, France, Fabien Galthié and Raphaël Ibanez tried to copy a little bit what the boys did in 2003 in England, meaning that it was a build-up, right? They beat on a regular basis eliminatory teams. That doesn't mean that you're going to be world champion as a given, but at least it means you've got the capacity to beat any side. You can beat the All Blacks, you can beat South Africa, you can beat Australia from time to time. And that's what France are trying to do, because they set two targets, win titles and beat South Africa. Everybody's praising France. I'm praising France. I'm super happy for them. But we stumbled, you know, how do you say that? We missed out on two opportunities for Six Nations. We did. We didn't win anything, and we're not even close of doing it. So it's the things are better, yes, but we need to beat Southern Emirates teams, and we need to get a title. At the moment, neither are done. So that's why I'm saying maybe it's the media thing, but it is just a building and process. I do think everybody wants France to do well. You guys can go, ooh, you love France. You love the difference that they bring. You love the country, obviously. You love the wine. You love the place. It's true that everybody needs a strong French team on the rugby map, basically. And especially that World Cup, boys and girls, in 2023 is going to be some trip. So make sure that whether you like France or England or surfing or whatever, just buy your tickets and go, because that will be a proper trip.
Proper trip. I tell you what I did love is the new kit.
Yeah.
I like it.
But then the England new kit was quite nice as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did really like the French new kit. But they're not the same, are they? Because I always thought, because it used to be always Nike, so whatever... It always followed suit. So you think in England you've got a really nice Nike kit, and then it's exactly the same as they had.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same as South Africa. But I can't remember.
They're Coq Sportif. Too, so
Coq Sportif.
The England,
definitely
England boys.
No one else is getting sponsored by the Coq Sportif.
I thought the England boys and the England girls look good, actually, at the weekend.
Yeah.
Just on that, going back to Ben's point around the All Black game, having been there, done it, beaten them, you beat them all three of the big Southern Hemisphere sides 4 years in a row?
Yeah, so
unbeaten?
From 2000... So I got capped in the... start of the Six Nations in 2000, and from that point I lost only to South Africa once in the next 4 years. I beat New Zealand four times and Australia five times.
Who's counting? Who's counting?
From 2004 onwards, it sort of took a little bit.
How big is the final, that game, France All Blacks, for French hopes, genuinely?
Look, I like it. What Ben said, referencing sort of our journey back then, you are going to hit stumbling blocks along the way, but you can take those against home nations. They lost, obviously, I think they were the best team in the Six Nations, should have won a Grand Slam, but you take those knocks. We had those, but it's getting that confidence against the teams that, actually, New Zealand is you know, France are their bogey team generally. So it's making sure you can consistently get those results against them. And I love that French team. I think the balance that they have throughout the squad, obviously Dupont is literally the greatest player at the moment. Just the way you talk about the physicality that Argentina brings. I mean, it takes a big, big man to stop him. No one gets him down first effort, and he always makes those little breaks. A nine that can run against defences now and has that his skill set is the future. Because as people are chasing up, taking to the line as a nine and having runners just peeling around corners, dropping underneath you and making those right decisions, which he seems to always do, and be in the right place at the right time for tries, he can do whatever he wants. And as long as you've got Entomac, who just smiles at people and everyone's like, oh my God, he's so handsome. And then holes open, so you can do whatever you want then.
They certainly do. I was going to say, you can tell Dupont...
Stop looking at me, man.
You're 12 years old. I was going to say, Dupont's actually, you can tell how good a player Dupont is, because even you said before we came up here, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he is.
That's it. Yeah, that's
he is. What should be yeah. He is. Obviously, we had Nick White a couple of years ago. He's obviously moved back to Oz now. But they were quite, like, very similar players, to be honest. Nick White was very good at running, very physical. He was a tiny man. But like you said then, it took a couple of people to stop him. And then if you've got a nine that runs as much as they, and he kicks and he passes, and that comes with it. But when you've got a nine that can run and punch above his weight, it completely changes your team. So obviously when we lost Nick White, it was obviously, you know, a big loss to the team. Jack Maunder's stepping up, he's doing well for us. But yeah, when you've got someone like that can do the game, flip the game, or do something and make something happen, it's quite special to have.
That is good rugby chat.
As far as we're going, no more.
He's exhausted.
Check it out.
He's having a lie down.
He's sweating.
He's sweating. He's like, oh, comfort zone.
I can't talk about it. I just choose not to.
I did. So the question: did you see? You went. I did not ask you if you watched the game, but did you see the dickhead who rang on the pitch at the Principality?
Which one? There's been a couple.
Well, the one he ran on at the weekend.
No, I got saw pictures of it.
Yeah. I mean, but is it even worth oxygenating that or not? I just would have loved to. No, he ran all the way.
He's been banned for life.
Great.
What did he do? Did he just run on?
He ran. He got in the way of Liam Williams, who had a clear run to the line. It basically, I don't know whether it would or wouldn't, but it would have been a much better opportunity to score if he hadn't been there. I'd just love to know what you'd have done in that circumstance. Nothing.
We played you. Did you play that game when we had a streaker at our place? With Freddie Burns, like, dump tackled him.
No,
did you play that? Were you still playing?
Yes, I did see that. Yeah, Freddie Burns did, yeah.
But, like, I wouldn't be that angry.
Right.
Well, maybe if I was about to score, it'd be a different story, but...
What, in a test match with...
Well, yeah, maybe. But, like, if it was just, like, Freddie Burns won, it was just stoppage.
Yeah.
And he came on and, like, jumped on him or something and Freddie flipped him, I'd be like, yeah, sweet, mate, all right? How you doing?
I did quite like how Josh Adams just... Even afterwards, he just kept throwing his arms like this. I'm like, that's not going to do anything, mate. No. You can't change it. We at once had a streaker. England under-18s in Ireland. About six guys streaked naked across the pitch. And Dave Flatman got so angry, he literally killed this one guy. Absolutely, fully speared him on his head. Got up, sort of stood on him as he walked off. This kid was just literally...
naked.
He was naked, yeah, and they sort of had to drag him off by his arms. It's quite awkward. Looked like he shat himself afterwards.
I'd love to see that. That'd be brilliant.
Oh, great. He's suddenly come alive, ladies and gents. The man is alive. Was your mother-in-law happy?
Oh, I was sort of wondering what I've done now.
Take it wherever you want. Hello to Angela from Hello.
I haven't spoke to her, but I imagine she's very happy.
That was a
happy.
Good win for Scotland, that one.
Very good. And, yeah, we were talking about it earlier, about Finn Russell and his Maverick tag, and when is it going to stop, and the fact they can knock over a clutch kick at the end to win the game. Look, I just think it's got to stop. He's not a maverick. He's just one hell of a player. Yeah. We saw that in the Lions, and it's not being a maverick. Hey,
cheers,
Vin. Thanks for coming, mate. I think it's just people have just got to accept he plays differently. He doesn't. The biggest thing that sort of Hoggy's always said, he doesn't get down on himself when he makes a mistake. He could make the next pass, the same pass, exactly the same situation the next time, and it'll come off. And you just got to applaud that sometimes.
Do you speak to Stuart Hogg at all?
Now and again. I don't really understand him, to be honest.
Did you?
I wonder why things are falling apart. Yeah.
Sell in the markets. Can we just comment on the fact that his hair now is resplendent?
Yeah,
it's
good.
It's exactly what it needs to be.
Do you want to tell it into a little secret as well?
Okay, just between you and me.
Yeah, just between us. Just us guys on the sofa, right? Yeah. He's just had his teeth done as well.
Oh, and?
Yeah. They're fake. The only guy I know that can be...
tell no one.
The only guy I know that can captain his country but sneak out midweek and get his teeth fixed is unbelievable.
Wow.
Unbelievable. But his hair is good and now his teeth's good. He's turning into like a
double
4
job.
Out of 10
his hair's a double job as well. He's had it done twice.
Yeah, a couple of times, yeah.
Are you happy for him?
Yeah,
Teeth, hair.
Captain, yeah, very happy for him. Good
lovely
on him.
Stuff. Thanks, Jack. is there anything else we haven't spoken about? Talking? What's happening here? The whole thing's falling apart now. Any games we haven't covered? I don't know. My shoes. Yeah. These shoes.
Right. It's a very, very, very strong point.
Security, take him out now. Get him gone. I'm going bowling in 10 minutes. I've got to wrap this up.
Myself and Hask have literally laid into him numerous times about those shoes.
And I will not fucking stop wearing them.
And he will not stop wearing them.
Very proud of them.
Convenient, aren't they? You know?
What?
Convenient, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Laces,
slip on, slip on. That's why the people came. I've completely lost interest in everything we're doing this evening. The thing I did want to talk to you about is we've got a little sneaky preview next week. Hopefully some of you might come back next week, actually, which is...
I'm judging on this, probably not.
No, probably not, actually. This may well all be over by next week. But we've got a very cool thing to talk about next week with Red Bull and the England team, which they've been doing out in Jersey, and we've had a sneak peek tonight. It's very, very cool. But it comes off the back of... your challenge on the beach, which I have to say you made quite a lot of hard work of.
It was hard.
Yeah, well, yeah, sure. But you know, you certainly made it look hard, yeah.
Well, it was hard.
Can you just tell us the story of how it came together?
I wasn't faking it.
Right, no. Tell us the story of how it came about, how it panned out. Because it is, if you haven't seen it, it is, well, it's basically Jack being miserable, which is not too dissimilar to this evening. But it actually
you can
looks
still
very
watch
good.
It. Yeah.
It's quite emotional. It's a great, great...
It was good fun.
...challenge.
It was good fun. Well, it's part of the Red Bull Pro Athlete campaign that we did. And basically, long story short, it was Red Bull come up with all these ideas, as you probably know. And they're like, right, we want to try and recreate a rugby game as much as you can. Like, there's no fitness session, there's no swimming session, there's no running session you can do to try and recreate a game. It's impossible. You know, it's like when you're injured, you're coming back, they're like, we're going to try and get you match fit. No matter how hard you try and no matter how much hard work you do, that first game, you're always absolutely fucking knackered, like no matter what. So anyway, they were like, we're going to try to recreate this thing. It was basically a glorified obstacle course. It was on a beach. It was back home in Cornwall, which was pretty cool for me. And I thought, I'm not going to lie, I probably haven't told them this because they are in the room. But I'm not going to lie, I thought it was going to be one of those things where I turn up, we clip a few clips together, 10 seconds here, 10 seconds there. A lot of the stuff you see is fake. Bit of fake sweat on my head. Oh, shit, I'm bleeding on my knee. It's so hard. How did you find the course? Oh, it's the hardest thing I've ever done. So I thought it was going to be one of them. So the night before, I was back home with my mates. And I decided to have a couple of beers with a few of my friends. I've not seen them in a few years, so I was like, yeah, let's go out. I've got this thing tomorrow up the road, but it's fine. Don't worry about it. Anyway, I had one too many. Turned up the next morning, and this assault course was like phenomenal. Like, I don't know how they got it down onto the beach, but it had all sorts going on there. You have to check it out. And they basically turned
it's
around.
It's like you're flipping boats and running between boys,
yeah,
and
boats
passes
heads, yeah.
into fishnets. And yeah. like,
so the boats are like 120 kilo. 160 kilo, 180 kilo, flip, throw balls, kick them, dodge the boys, drag this anchor through the sand, which was fucking ridiculous. It was like 80 kilo. But anyway, they said do it, but you got to get it in under a minute to complete it. So I was like, ready, here we go. So anyway, I was going on, it took me about 30, 40 times to do it, and I was getting angrier and angrier doing it. But it was pretty cool because I had my family involved. My little brother came down, he tried it as well. I made some of the guys do it after because they pretty much spent 2 days looking at me and laughing. So I made them do it after as well. But yeah, it was so cool to do, and it's probably, it is up there one of the hardest things I've done. It's on sand. Yeah. So yeah, I eventually finally did it, but yeah, it took me 2 days to do, but it was pretty cool.
Did you take anyone else down? Because I love the fact you always call Rob Baxter, you just call him Baxter. Are you still, is that still a thing, or are you now calling him Sir or Rob, or have you moved up there?
Is he an OBE now? He's an OBE.
Is he?
We're still calling him Baxter.
It's though. Baxter OBE.
Lovely. Baxter OBE.
Is this a thing that, because he was involved in the video as well.
Yeah, so obviously Red Bull wanted to make it as much like a game as they could. As possible, yeah. So they got Rob involved. They got our head of conditioner, Mark Twiggs, involved to try and come up with some drills and to see what I could do and what I couldn't do. So yeah, quite a lot of thought went into it to try and make it as hard as they possibly could for me, unfortunately. So yeah, it was one of those tasks that I desperately wanted to do in the end, and I was getting severely frustrated. You could see in the video, but it was good fun there.
I always knew that he was going to do it in the end. It comes to your mum and he goes, "The one thing about Jack, he'll never give in." Oh, I wonder if he's going to make it on this time. Oh, he made it. 57 seconds.
You've got to suck the fans in, haven't you? Keep them watching.
Is there going to be another one?
I hope so. Yeah.
Got to stay fit, haven't you? That's easier said than done.
Yeah, that was when I was in my fit streak. So, yeah, maybe a couple more games, actually get on the field, and then we'll talk about it.
I think given the way you've behaved tonight, you and I should talk to Red Bull about setting him up for a challenge. We're bringing some gunfire and missiles and then see how quick you run. Let's just have a little sort of a quick look ahead to the weekend. Just predictions. So you've got Georgia down in Bordeaux, which is lovely. Yeah, Jack, sit down, relax. Don't worry about this. France, kick on. Are we seeing any upsets this weekend in terms of the games?
Well, France, Georgia, I certainly hope not. But I think it's going to be a... No, I don't think so.
But will they change it a lot, or will they just stick with... With New Zealand coming up after, I think I would say that continuity will be better going into that game.
And it's only a six-day turnaround. So they play Sunday against Georgia and Saturday against New Zealand. So I don't know. I think there'll be a couple of things. I mean, they during the whole week, the whole chat was about Jalibert and Ntamack. They're like 10 and 12 for France. who they're going to play together, or whether they're going to be on the bench and all that, because there's a couple of injuries they did. And in the end, against Argentina, who completely out-muscled us for a while, he ended up getting big Dante back in. So I think he might go away from that. And like you said, Romain Ntamack came out pretty pissed off, didn't he, at the 53rd minute, looking very angry and very French. And frustrated. And so I don't know what they're going to do. I think they might change a little bit. But with New Zealand around the corner, they're going to have to.
Italy-Argentina? Forza Azzurri?
I think it's their best chance of Italy getting a result. So, but I don't... If Argentina turn up with the intensity that they had against France, I don't see them getting the result. But there are some bright sparks in that Italian team. I think Ione was outstanding in terms of how he can break tackles. Garbisi's getting there. He's not quite there yet. They just need those players to play a bit more rugby. Varney only played like 80 minutes, hadn't he? Yeah. And bits and pieces like that. But there are some good players. They're missing, obviously, Jake Peledri, who has the weirdest injury I've ever seen.
What's he done?
So, well, basically, he did his ACL, didn't he, in was it about a year ago? So in the Autumn Nations Series last year. But at the same time, he severed a little bit of his nerve, so he can't move his foot. So his foot is like a dead foot. He can't move it. And I went to the game against Exeter the other week, Gloucester game, and he was chatting in the room that I was in, and he's only just been and had a scan that's shown that there is nerve regeneration, so he doesn't have to quit forever. But they've built him a splint now, so he can run. But if Italy can get him back, he's an incredible player. But it's good that he's not going to have to retire anyway.
Good luck and get well soon. Yeah. You're not going with it. Are you going Italy or Argentina?
No, Argentina. I think we'll win.
Scotland, South Africa?
I so want Scotland to win. I just generally can't get on board with South Africa at all. So just
for the people, if Ireland were to play South Africa now...
So anyone who follows me, I always pick a team that I hate. Ireland I disliked for a long period of time because I knew that their run would come to an end because of the way they played, which is exactly how South Africa play, but South Africa have better players. Whereas actually, Ireland have now shifted that a little bit, which I hope they would have got from Katty coming involved and Faz sort of moving on, that I thought they might play a bit more rugby, which they are doing at the moment. So in that Six Nations, I was actually quite happy with the way Ireland played, whereas South Africa have such good players, yet they play this very limiting, very controlling game because they know they're bigger and stronger. And unfortunately, I don't see them coming to the end like Ireland did, where someone will work out how to beat them, you know, because they will always stay in a game and they will always, and I just can't get on board. When you've got the likes of the players that they've got, you know, whether it be whether it be Delande in the centre, you know, Pollard can play, Faf when he's fit can play, and then all their forwards can play. And yet you stick to such a regimented way of playing. You know, the two of the worst games in history, which is Wales-South Africa in the semi-final of the 29 World Cup, the worst game that's ever been shown on telly. 100 minutes of shit.
You see, this is where Amazon Prime are missing out. That's what they need at half time.
And, you know, but the great thing about rugby is it was similar to that on the weekend, but when other teams can stay with them, it makes it tense and it makes it exciting. But, yeah, I just think South Africa are too good. They should play a bit more rugby. But Scotland, one of the only teams I buy a ticket to watch the way they play. So I want them to go out there and beat them.
Oh, man. That gets a round of applause from more than just the one Scot in the room. Who have Ireland got this weekend? Have Ireland got New Zealand this weekend?
Don't care.
England, Australia. What would you like to happen at Twickenham on Saturday between England and Australia, Jack?
I would love England to win.
Super stuff. What is going to happen?
They're going to win.
Great. More quality content. Any more from that? Or should we just move? Because actually the Wallaby, I mean, I know that Scotland did them, but they'd won their previous five before that under Dave Rennie. They're getting going a bit. Some new young talent. Yeah, Will Skelton back.
Loads of young talent and exciting to watch. Again, I think through the rugby, whatever the rugby championship is called at the moment, I have no idea. This is where you hold
what?
The key.
What was the question?
the rugby championship. Is still called the rugby championship?
Yeah, let's go with that.
I don't know. I think they've got a load of great new players. You know, a lot of people won't know their names because they are that young, but they play with a tempo and a pace that you want to see. It's the only way you can break down defences now, and I hope that it takes England. I don't want England to slip back into what they've done since 2019, which is basically try and play like South Africa. They don't want the ball. They seem to kick the ball away a lot. I want to see them play with the ball in hand, which is why I want to see Marcus Smith at 10. It's why I want to see a different 9.
So you would go Smith 12-13?
I still keep the same 12 and 13. Okay. I like swap them around. I think Manu's far better coming as a decoy or a running threat from 13 than he is from 12. But as long as they move around, I'm quite happy with them flip around. But I think Manu, whether they're worried about defensively, I don't know. Whether they'll stick with the same wingers, I'm not sure. I think and Freddie Stewart at the back would be lovely. I would like to see a more of a running threat of 9, but he actually did all right the weekend. So
come on, let's have a bit more positivity.
No, he was good, but I would like to see a live wire at 9. I don't think he's a live wire at the moment.
Right. Final thoughts. What's next? Tell me what's coming up that you're excited about, and is it Christmas in the diary? What are you going to get really hyped about? Because at the moment it feels like you're searching for it.
No,
I am certainly searching for it.
Christmas I'm looking forward to. You obviously know in the Premiership now there's 13 teams.
I did know that, yes.
Just checking.
I'm very impressed you know that, honest with you.
I know a lot, mate.
He actually, when he came in, he goes, why have we got a bye week?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I've been dropped again.
Our bye week is actually on Christmas, so we've got all Christmas off.
Oh,
fucking brilliant.
Out.
How good's that?
That is lucky day.
Amazing.
I haven't had a Christmas in years.
So what are you going to do?
I don't know, yeah. I can do anything.
Great.
I might go in the water, you're right, yeah?
Drinking.
I don't do that anymore. I'm going to stay strong. I'll probably go back home with my old man, so that I might break that. If I went back home right
now. Ciders.
You've got your pub down there, haven't you?
Yeah.
Is that still going?
It's not good use at the moment, is it?
No.
Fucking hell.
What's that?
Scared me then. You said pub. And
which one, Michael? We can have you there in 5 minutes.
From your local, where you are, we can see there are 15 pubs within a near distance.
Way,
and
Michael.
They serve your favourite drink.
But you have got your pub. I mean, is it all right? Is it up and running?
Yeah, it's really good. I'm not drinking in it at the moment.
Right.
But
I mean, because obviously it's been a horrendous time in the entertainment and the hospitality.
It's Cornwall, isn't it? So
don't really deal with COVID down there or rules.
I don't even think it happened down there.
Do you get down there a bit? Are you sort of pouring pints and making pies, or are you just sort of letting other people do that?
I have been down there not since I've stopped drinking, so I was drinking a lot of pints down there at the time.
Right.
We actually had a social down there, which was pretty cool.
You took the team down?
I took the whole Exeter Chiefs down to Cornwall.
Is that wise?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They went to my pub. It was brilliant.
Perfect. Did they leave it standing?
Yeah.
Just about.
But again, Red Bull, I say this another thing, Red Bull work very closely with the club, so they helped out with our... So every year, the Chiefs, our club, we go on a warm weather training couple of days. It's brilliant. We've been to some of the best countries. We've been to Ibiza, been to Magaluf. We've been to Benidorm twice.
Right.
Albufeira.
Yes, Benidorm.
What kind of warm weather training is this, in inverted commas?
We had to go search for the sun pre-season,
right.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So obviously you're not allowed to take your boots. There's no rubber balls that go. It's basically our pre-season to get to know each other. So when the new boys come in, that's the first thing they do, is they get on a bus and then we go to wherever. So obviously COVID and everything that happened, we couldn't get away this year. So I came up with a very good idea. Let's go down to Cornwall. I know a perfect place for us all to go spend our money. And then we'll look after each other. So,
and now retire, which is lovely.
Yeah, I've had doubt. So,
that is why Netflix need to invest. Obviously, they've got Drive to Survive. We've got Hard Knocks. Just imagine if they did it in rugby. And this year, we're with Exeter Chiefs. They're going to Benidorm.
Strictly, there's no phone. There's strictly nothing at all.
Amazing.
Is that literally off-grid?
Yeah, off-grid. I don't think anyone takes their phones. I don't think anyone takes bags. I think you literally get boys turned up with fanny packs, a toothbrush, and pretty much what they're wearing. Passport.
Right.
That's it.
And this is pre-season?
This is normally the couple of days before pre-season. So coaches, everyone, Rob, Baxter, all our coaches, managers, everything. But it's a good way to get to know each other, get to know the new boys over a few beers. So,
do they all come back, or do a couple get left out to make their own way home?
Did we lose Dickie out there 1 year?
Right.
No, but we nearly lost Dickie in Japan once, to be fair. I don't know if anyone's heard about that. But
that was World Cup, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was... Yeah, no, but everyone has come back.
Good.
Quite lucky.
Is he all right? How's he getting on? Oh, I wanted to ask about Sam Simmons as well. Have you given him a hug?
Yeah.
Is he all right?
Yeah, he's all right. He's a little bit. He's obviously very gutted.
Yeah.
He's desperate to play, which is good.
Yes.
But Eddie's told him that he'll have his chance, I think. So
good.
Hopefully this week.
2030. Thanks, Eddie.
What?
2030. Thanks, Eddie.
Oh, I see.
That's what we love it.
Right. Good. Go forth and conquer with whatever it is you're off to go and conquer with. I've really enjoyed this, Jack.
Thank you.
We're going to hang around for a bit of a Q&A off the back of this, but we've got a couple of bits of G-Bin or Spiz to do just to wrap up our pod before we finish things off tonight. So our Spiz section, which stands for shit biz, apparently, according to Hask. That's how we roll. Last thing to say, as part of the British and Irish Lions Legacy Tour, we've teamed up with Vodafone to support grassroots clubs returning to rugby. We are off to Dungannon Rugby Football Club in Northern Ireland on the 27th. What, you're already smiling. Why are you smiling?
Because I have a lot of friends who live close by, and
I'm already crazy Irish. I'm already nervous about that weekend, but we're meant to be going to have a very good weekend at Dungannon RFC in Northern Ireland as part of the Canterbury Lions Origins Clubs. We're going to have a lot of fun, very similar to what we did at Westbury, if any of you have seen that. We had an absolute blast. So we're off to Dungannon on the weekend of the 27th of November. Come along if you're in that area. But that, I'm afraid, and I think, is as far as we're going to go tonight. Thank you very much indeed to Mike, to Ben, and to Jack. Please give them an enormous round of applause. Well done to all you beautiful people here at The Prince in Fulham. You can give yourself a cheer as well. And thank you to Red Bull for pulling it all together and transforming the Prince into the best seat in the house for the Autumn Internationals. We are back next week from 7:30 next Monday. We'd love to see you here again if you've enjoyed tonight. And if you are listening in and you're in the area or you're watching on YouTube, you can head to our socials to get tickets. We would love to see you down here. Next week, we've got Dylan Hartley, who does know his rugby, so that's going to be nice for me, isn't it? Dylan, come on down. We've got Brian Habana as our special guest as well, looking ahead to England against South Africa. But we will leave it there for tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much indeed for coming. We are the Good, the Bad and the Rugby in partnership with City Index. Give it up once again for Teams, for Ben and for Jack Noel. Enjoy the rest of your weeks. See you very soon. Enjoy all the rugby that is coming your way. From all of us, it's bye for now. Woo-hoo.
Thank you so much for listening to The Good, The Bad and The Rugby. It can't have been easy.